Welcome back to Psukei HaDaf. This is Rabbi Yaakov Trump, and we are going to be learning Brachos Daf Lamed Dalet today. The topic for today is windows in the attic. There are 11 psukim on Brachos Daf Lamed Dalet. We are going to be focusing on one of the last ones, which appears on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, just before the end of the perek. It is a posuk in Daniel Perek Vav, posuk Yud Aleph, and here is how it reads. It may sound strange, but that is because it is in Aramaic. V'Daniel kedi yada ki dirushim kesova al levese. When Daniel knew that this edict had been put into writing, he went into his house, and he went to his attic where he had these windows that were open, neged Yerushalayim, which would face Yerushalayim, v'zimnim t'lasa b'yomai, and three times a day, hu borech al birchoihi umatzleim, he would pray, he would kneel down, and he would pray, umoide kodam elokai, and he would pray, and he would thank Hashem, kol kabel di havo avad, min kodamas denah, as he would always do. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Lamed Aleph Beis, at the very bottom of the page, quotes Rabbi Chia Bar Abba in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, who would say that a person should always try to daven al yispala odam ela b'bayis sheyesh sham chalonos. A person should daven in a room which has windows. We learn this from Daniel. But by learning this halacha, perhaps we forget the context of what's actually going on in the story. This is a really riveting story in Perek Vav, really worthwhile learning together. Part of the reason why we don't learn Sefer Daniel as much is because it is in Aramaic, it is less accessible, but that is in fact part of the challenge. Let's make sure we're up to that challenge. Let's understand the context. The context is the following. There's a new king in Persia. His name is Darius the Mede. He appoints 120 ministers over his kingdom, and one of those men was Daniel. Daniel was obviously extremely efficient. He rose above the rest. He surpassed the other ministers in such a way that the king wanted to appoint him over all the other ministers. And of course, good success breeds good jealousy, and all the other non-Jewish ministers who felt very upended by Daniel's success looked for ways to be able to slander him, and they found that there was no reason to slander him. He was not tardy, he was not late, he was not lazy, and therefore they had nothing to do but except to create a ruse, which was not true. They came before the king and they made the following proposition. They said, "Oh king, long live the king. Here we want to make sure that you get requisite respect. And that is, if anybody in this kingdom were to, God forbid, ask from any other power except for you, they shall be thrown into the lion's den." The king said, "Oh, that sounds reasonable." And they said, "Can we sign this into law?" He said, "Absolutely, we'll sign this into law." Sounds like they're just trying to give him respect. But what do they do? They run straight to Daniel's house, upon which we meet our pasuk quoted in the Gemara. What is Daniel doing three times a day? He's davening in his attic. They enter in, they burst in, they arrest him, they bring in front of the king, and they say, "O king, Daniel davens three times a day. He prays to a power other than you. What are you going to do about it?" The king tries to get out of it. The king tries to protect Daniel and is not able to. Ultimately, he is thrown into the lion's den. A rock is placed in front of it overnight, and it is sealed with the seal of the king. The king spends the entire night fasting and runs in the dawn to remove away the stone, and out walks Daniel. He asks Daniel, "How in the world did this happen?" And Daniel responds, "Elokai, Eloki, the shalach malachi sagar, kpum aryavosa v'loi chabluni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent an angel, the king who I prayed to sent an angel, and he protected me that the angels were not to kill me." Ultimately, the king then threw the ministers into the lion's den itself, and the psukim tell us in graphic detail that before they even reached the ground, they were dismembered by the hungry lions, so it was not a fact that the lions were taking a day off by any standard. What is fascinating about this Gemara is that tefillah on the one hand seems to be the thing which gets Daniel into the problem in the first place, but it's also the thing which gets him out of the problem in the last place. But the question the Malbim asks is, how in the world could Daniel do this? Surely we know that a person is not supposed to sacrifice their life, not supposed to jeopardize their life because of a mitzvah perhaps, which the Ramban even says is drabonon of tefillah. Why was he davening? Just wait until the gezerah blows over. So the Malbim says he wasn't davening. He wasn't praying to God for something. If you read the pasuk very carefully, he was thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a difference between thanking and asking. Daniel would thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu three times a day, and that's what he was doing. This was, in fact, a false accusation, a blood libel held against the Jews from time immemorial of these individuals, of these jealous ministers who took Daniel's thanking as praying. Daniel was doing the right thing. He was always doing the right thing. Ultimately, it turned into a Kiddush Hashem, but a very narrowly missed, terrifying opportunity that they would have taken for it. This gives a little bit more of perspective of those windows which should be opened up in our hearts as well as our rooms. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.